Today we're going to talk about a very interesting topic, which is how one becomes socialized into being a sports fan. Would I be correct to assume that for the majority of the people, this socialization happened at a very young age?
Yeah, it's interesting. One of my colleagues, Jeff James, has found in his research that most individuals will identify themselves as a sports fan or not by about the age of five. So we're talking really young, even before some individuals get to walking into kindergarten. They've already sort of learned that this thing of sport is out there and whether or not they are going to be interested in following it as a fan.
So if someone's young and their parents or older siblings always had friends over and a lot of times the focus of the event was a sporting event, then they're going to be more likely to be socialized into sports?
That's exactly correct. So people used to ask me about my children and say, boy, your kids sure seem to be interested in sport. I'm like, well, sure, because my house is wall-to-wall bat and ball, right? It'd be hard not to become interested in sport in the Juan household because it's just what we did. So much of what was on the television and in the discussions and the vacations that we would take and the way we spent our money. So for my kids and so many millions of kids like that, when the parents are fans, they see that this is what you sort of do, and it helps, sort of teach the kids what sport is all about. And really that's the whole point of socialization, is it's teaching what some domain is all about. So you think about students that come to Murray State, that maybe they're from first generation college families, that mom and dad didn't go to college, they're the first people here. They've got to learn what college life is all about, right? So they'll learn from their classmates and their roommates and their professors and people that they meet along the way. They're getting socialized into what college life entails. Sport fandom's the same thing. Somebody has to teach these individuals what it means to be a sport fan. How do you follow sport? What are the benefits from that? What are the dangers, right, in terms of, linking yourself psychologically with something that might not work out very well? And certainly when they look at the research and you compile all the studies that have been done, the parents stick out first and foremost, in particular fathers. I mean, one of the most well-replicated findings is that dads are the single primary influencer for socialization into sport. It starts with dads. Certainly moms have a huge influence. Moms certainly have a huge influence for young ladies. But even daughters are more likely to be influenced by their fathers. Why? Well, there's a lot of reasons. One is certainly that dads are more likely to actually play sport, right? So dads are more likely to be in a bowling league or a church softball league or something like that. So they see dad doing this more than they see mom. But parents aren't the only influence, right? Siblings are also a powerful influence. Peers are a powerful influence. You go to school and you hear your friends talking about sport and how they enjoy following it. And some kids are like, well, mom and dad don't do this, but man, my friends seem to. This looks like kind of a fun thing to do. So you'll get kids that, their parents don't have any interest in sport, and yet the kid does because their peers care, or the community can serve as a socialization agent, or the school can serve as a socialization agent. Murray State for basketball, right? Murray High School for football. Calvert County for basketball, right? These schools can also sort of be the teaching institution that drives the interest that fans have in sport.
What about the inverse effect? I'm sure you've come across people who grew up in, as you say, a wall-to-wall bat-to-ball household but don't like sports. How does that work?
Yeah, it's really interesting. So I have a friend who is a big sports fan, particularly Major League Baseball, and his son, just for whatever reason, was never interested in sport. And I can remember him saying that he just doesn't care. I'm such a failure as a father, And I'm like, that doesn't work out that way, right? Just because, mom and dad – or mom or dad have a passion for something, doesn't guarantee that the child is going to follow along in that. It increases the likelihood. But at the end of the day, there's still free will, right? The kids can say, well, that's just not something that I care about. Or maybe, mom and dad like this, but none of the child's close friends did. And so there wasn't any of this peer mentorship and pairing that would go along with it. So, and particularly by the time kids get to be 12 or 13, the power of parents as a socialization agent declines and the power of peers increase. I've always said that for parents, by the time your kids are about 14 or 15, you're no longer a parent. You're just a consultant, right? You're just kind of suggesting things along the way because they're probably going to listen to their peers more. Fandom's the same way, right? So if a child's parents are following sport and the child is kind of lukewarm towards it and they get to be 14, 15, and none of their friends follow sport, they're probably not going to as well.
Is socialization into sport fandom something that is harder to have happen to you the older you get, or can you still become a huge sports fan, you know, later in life relatively?
You know, that's a really interesting question, and it's one of the things that they're just starting to look at in the research. I would actually argue that we pretty much know what's happening with respect to the socialization of kids. We'll talk about some cross-cultural issues potentially, right, that it's different from one culture to another. But we get the process with kids being socialized into sport. Where the research is really heading is, okay, well, what about non-children? No, they get socialized as well. I'll give you a really good example. I had no interest whatsoever in hockey, in professional hockey, or amateur hockey, or any kind of hockey. I grew up in Kansas City. That just wasn't a thing in Kansas City. And when I started dating Michelle, she said, "Who's your favorite hockey team?" And I said, "I don't have one." And she was absolutely shocked. She said, "Well, don't you like going to hockey games?" "I've never been to a hockey game." And she asked me, "How is it that you can possibly do what you do for a living and be the sports fan that you are and not care at all about hockey?" I said, "Well, I just wasn't socialized. There was, my parents didn't care. My friends didn't care. There was no hockey team at my schools. There was no community hockey. There was no reason for me to care." So she said, "Well, you know, I now have a bucket list item and I have to take you to a Predators game." And so we went. And by about the first break, I was absolutely hooked, right? I mean, because I've already got the makeup as a sport fan, and now I'm getting to, you know, exposed to this something. So I was literally, and then, you know, you fast forward 3 years later, we have season tickets, a partial season ticket package to the Predators. So I was socialized actually into being a hockey fan in my 50s, right? So that's pretty late. And then another way it works out is what they're calling reverse socialization, where the child is actually socializing the parents. For example, you've got a parent that, you know, mom and dad never cared about soccer. They grew up in, you know, a time in the country when soccer just wasn't a big deal. Now all of a sudden, the child is interested in soccer, and so she goes and plays on, you know, the U6 and U8 soccer teams, and she's really into it. And she's coming home and talking to mom and dad about soccer. And they're thinking, well, that, you know, that sounds like it might be kind of fun to follow. So the child, in that case, is actually, you know, encouraging the parents' interest in that sport.
You actually teed me up for exactly what I wanted to talk about, and that is soccer. I have never, ever known anyone in America that was a sports fan to the degree that people I know from other countries are about soccer, or as they would call it, football. It almost seems to transcend sport and it becomes almost part of a national identity. Can you explain that?
You just did. It literally does become part of, a major part of their national identity, so much so that they have research that indicates that when a European soccer team does poorly in a national competition, it has a direct negative impact on that country's stock market because the people in that country are so disappointed. You know, sad people don't buy things, right? And they have a negative outlook on the future and it negatively impacts the stock market. The socialization that you have for soccer in other countries. I mean, there's definitely socialization for soccer in the U.S., particularly in the last 20, 25 years, it's become a bigger deal. But, you know, it's just minuscule compared to what you would have for Brazil, some European countries where, you know, you can argue what is or is not the national sport in the United States. You know, historically it was baseball. Is it football now? And if it's football, is it the NFL or is it college football? Right? You can make that argument and have some logical contributions and debate on both sides of the issues. There is no debate in almost every other country out there. It is soccer, and then, you know, whatever else might happen when soccer is not being played. The socialization process for those people in those countries for soccer is extremely powerful because you're not just being socialized by your parents and your community and your school and your peers, your country, right, is socializing you. This is literally who we are. We are a soccer country.